Psalm 119, beginning with a letter Y, Yod. That's verse 73 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is broken up by the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. So you see 22 paragraphs in Psalm 119, each beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. A lot of structure and engineering in the Bible. And the acrostic is one of those engineering tools. Unfortunately, we don't know the Hebrew Bible, so it kind of eludes us, but we have many tools to take in the Word of God. And one of those is preaching and listening to the Word of God and taking heed to it. Psalm 119, verse 73, is the letter Y. Yod is the pronunciation of that letter. It's the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and I don't think a mistake or an incident that it's the first letter in the name of God. Jehovah. The idea of J came pretty recently. The sound J has been there a long time, but incorporating it into the alphabet, where you hear Jehovah or Jesus, that came later on. In fact, it was like Queen Anne or something like that in the 1500s. Queen Mary it was, Bloody Mary. It was her. The persecution that came through her. And the gospel spread to like Switzerland, and then that's the Geneva Bible was born out of that persecution. And that's the J sound kind of came during that time frame. So it kind of came later. So we kind of pronounce God with a dialect, if you will. As Mary would call baby Jesus, she would say Yehoshua. She would say Yeshua or something of that nature. It would be a yes sound. And Jehovah would be the name of God. We'll get more into that, but this is the 10th letter, and it's the first letter in the name of God. Does God really need a name? No, he doesn't need a name. He's existed before everything else. Why would he even need a name? So when he encountered Moses, he said, I am. I just simply am. I always was. I always will be. I am the eternal existing one. So that's where Moses drew out of that statement, his God's reply to him saying, I am that I am. He took out the sounds out of it, some letters, and he came up with YHVH, which you can't even pronounce. It's called the tetragrammaton in the Greek, and that means four, tetra, grammar, it's four-letter word. And it's a special word given for the name, unpronounceable name of God. So there's a certain reverence to that, and it's kind of cool that way. It's a name you can't even pronounce, and we try to help it along by inserting some vowels, and we come up with Yehovah. And from there, you have Jehovah, that's God the Father. And then you have Jehovah is salvation, Joshua or Jesus coming out of that, Yeshua. So if you're thoroughly confused, we'll go over it some more, but don't think that God is hung up with that. Don't think that's a big, super deal because he is the I am. He didn't even need a name. And the only reason that we give him a name now because we're in his creation where we have a tendency to idolize other things. So we need to distinguish the real God from other things. And that's where it is significant. You don't want to just call him anything. So we do need something significant. We need it. He doesn't. He doesn't need a name. We need it to distinguish him from everything else. Therefore, it is important. So verse 73 through 80 is Yod, Y. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. 75 is going to be an important one for us today. I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right, your decisions. You know, judgments are, you have the word of God, you have the commandments, and judgments are, okay, here's the situation to apply the truth of God. It's a judgment call. It's a judgment for a particular situation. Thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness has afflicted me. God is faithful in afflicting me, in giving me or allowing, permitting trouble in my life. We're going to talk about Jesus today in the seven I ams that he presents himself to. And it's very appropriate as we look at the letter Y today. Jehovah means I am, and Jesus would say that as he stood before people. He said, I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And he would go on to say, I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the bread of life. We'll get into those particulars in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. But in that process, he's going to say, I am the vine. The place of attachment for you and me is Jesus Christ. We abide in the vine. We're a branch. He's the vine. He's the main trunk. We have a secure attachment, security in him. On the other end of that branch, it's not attached to anything. It doesn't circle back around and hook into the trunk. He's given us a free will. He's given us opportunity to worship him. There's kind of freedom that we have there, but it's secured in Christ. So we're going to be looking at that thing, that idea that Christ is our I am. This affliction, this idea of affliction is going to come up as we go through things today. That God is faithful in allowing me to have affliction. And that's the design that he has for us in a relationship with him. That we're secure in him, yet we have this freedom in life to make decisions and walk. And in this freedom, in this external exposure, we're going to have affliction. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trials. That's the branches that are blowing in the breeze right now. Dick Anthony said there might be one that's getting ready to fall in his yard, a couple of them. As he came in, he could see the ground moving as he was heading out for church, you know, the ground starting to move because the ground is soft. But there's a certain part of our life that is troubled while we're down here, and that's that part that's kind of waving in the breeze. Well, let's not forget that where we're secured in, though. There's that other side of the branch that's not going to be forsaken, that's secure in him, that's saved, it's sazo in the Greek, it's secure, it's whole. Let I pray thee, it says, thy merciful kindness for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. In his affliction, he's crying out to God for strength. What's he doing? He's leaning into that side of the trunk where the vine is. And he's looking for the sap, the sweet flow of God. Or she, whoever it is, this is for all of us. I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right in faithfulness has afflicted me. You've allowed me to have this freedom to be exposed in this world, to have affliction, to have persecution even, to have trouble, fiery trials. And in that process, the prayer comes in verse 76, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. This is the design of God in the tribulation, that we are growing closer to him. Our strength in the vine becomes more thick right there, if you could think of it. It's not this skinny little branch going in. It's right there. That process of attachment is just growing stronger. Look at verse 77. It's right in tune with this. It's even a deeper thought. Let thy tender mercies come under me. That word, tender mercies, is womb. It refers to the female organ down there that the baby resides in. The womb. We have a God that wants that level of intimacy. He wants us to have a desire for that intimacy as well, as this psalmist is crying out from his heart. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I might live, for thy law is my delight. the nurture, the care that goes on during these times is precious. The world would rob you of it. False teachers would rob you of it. The prosperity gospel that says just rebuke it and go for the fast, quick solution, they would rob you of it. There's nurturing that happens in our suffering. There's tender mercies that God has for us in these times. Don't take it away. Don't take it away. God wants to robe you during this time. The world would rob you of these opportunities to strengthen your position in Him. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate on thy precepts. What is this individual's issue? It's pretty clear as we go through this whole long psalm that it's an individual or a few individuals. It's people. It's not the brush fires of Australia. It's not the earthquakes of Puerto Rico. It's people that's driving them to this place of anguish. It's driving them to this place. It's affliction. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. What's he doing in this process? What is she doing in this process? Desiring to get together, having koinonia and fellowship with believers. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, return unto me. And those that have known thy testimonies, get regathering with the people of God. Sometimes in our affliction, isolation can happen. That's a normal plight of humanity. We feel that's just us. We feel like we're different than everybody else. Folks, you're not. We all go through these things, all of us. There isn't some graduation ceremony while you're on this earth from affliction. In fact, it might even get deeper. And in that depth of struggle and pain, the parallel side to that, the depth of our knowing of this love of God, as Mindy taught the kids on Friday, knowing this mercy of God, knowing what this womb is all about, that God wants us to come into this womb that He has for us. It's a place of nurturing. It's a place of growth and development. It's a place of love and security. It's salvation. It's safe. Verse 80 brings us into one of the three heart items that we're going to be covering today. And this is the one that's into the center, and it has to do with a sound heart. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Another term for the word of God, the breath of God, the written word, the scripture, the judgments of God. All of these things have to do with God speaking in the actions of God, His works, the things that we know He's done. In the prophetic word as well, the things that He will do. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let my heart be sound. The first entrance of that word is in Genesis, and we'll look at that in a second. But the challenge this morning for all of us is, do you have a sound heart? What do you mean by a sound heart? That it's beating? More than that. Are you in Christ, and is Christ in you? Are you in Christ, and is Christ in you? So if I were to give a title of today's presentation, it would be In Christ and Christ In. You could put the me in there where it belongs, me in Christ, Christ in me. Eliana is learning how to say I instead of me all the time. Me want cereal, me want this. And it seems to be quite a struggle to get her to say I. And she was, Eliana, it was Friday night, I was doing the grand sitting, and she was so excited. She says, me said I. Okay, good. Me in Christ. Christ in me. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to have Christ in you? Well, it's by faith that we are saved. It's by faith we know that Christ is in us and we're in Christ. And what's the evidence of faith? In fact, right in the definition of faith, it talks about faith being evidence and substance, substantial. It says that right in the definition. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Take a sneak peek at verse 103 and 104. This will be the evidence for us today. What does it mean to have a sound heart? Well, it means to be in Christ, and Christ in you. Here's the evidence of that. Here's the substance of that. See if you can hear it. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are thy words, being in love with God. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I hate the false ways. I hate going down that road, that destructive path, that habit, that dependency, whatever it is, that stumbling block in my life. I hate every false way. Yet, how sweet are the words of God. That's the evidence of Christ in you and you in Christ. That's the evidence of a sound heart, a perfect heart, as we will see in Genesis. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6 for the first occurrence of this idea of a sound or perfect heart. Same word. The first occurrence of that word sound or perfect is in Genesis chapter 6 for guess who? Noah. In verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. There's that word. Same word as sound heart. This is the heart that God wants, by the way, for me and you. He does? Well, I'm just a sinner. I'm under construction. And wait a minute. Hold on. Don't get too comfortable with that idea. That's true. God's looking for a sound heart. How do you get a sound heart? You're in Christ. Christ is in you. What's the evidence of that? You love the word of God and you hate the false ways. And this was the position of Noah. Noah had a seaworthy heart, literally, to be floating above the judgment of God. Why? Because Noah had the soundness of heart. He loved the word of God. It says in Hebrews 12, in the hall of faith, that he moved with fear when he heard the word of God. And he built this ark when he was being jeered at. And ha ha, look at this guy. Oh, you trusted in, you know, all of the stuff that we go through for years and years and years. He had to hear this. But his heart remained sound. It remained sound. Noah was a just man and perfect, sound in his generations. And Noah walked with God. The second instance of that, you just stay in Genesis and flip to chapter 17. In verse 1, anybody want to guess who that is? Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham. And when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, just like Noah was walking, and be thou perfect. There's that word, sound. Be thou perfect. You're starting to get an idea that God doesn't want us to live a junky life, half in the bag, and say we're Christians, and then, you know, we're and be comfortable there. God is always moving us to this place of loving him and delighting in him and hating the false way. That's the evidence of Christ in you, and you in Christ, a sound heart. From this point forward, from this command to Abram to be perfect, to have the sound heart, we can go into Exodus, we can go into Leviticus and see the same idea of the same word being used, but it's used in the context of a lamb. A perfect, spotless lamb. Because no man ultimately can fulfill this. And so it goes to this blemishless lamb all through Leviticus, trudging through these lambs just all the time getting slain. What is going on? Well, this is what's going on. The lamb who would be slain would come to earth and tell us in the Sermon on the Mount, he would address the heart. He would forget about the chalkboard. He's speaking to the chalkboard of your heart, saying, if you look at a woman with adultery in your heart, he's getting right to the heart of matter. If you call your brother an idiot, you know, you have hatred in your heart, he's talking to the chalkboard of your heart. He's teaching us right into our heart. And at the conclusion of that, what does he say? Be therefore thou perfect. Cue the wind sound as we go to James. And this is where it gets really intense. This is where our understanding what it means to be in Christ and Christ in us should really start to click. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testing, various trials, your translation might say. The struggle, the pain of being on this earth. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire. Wanting nothing. That's a sound heart. And it comes from an abiding in Christ. An abiding in Christ, in that vine. And it comes from Christ being in you, the other end of that branch, where you're out there in the world. And now it's Christ in you. But you never leave. The branch doesn't separate itself from the vine, you see. It's never that way. You feel like the wind is tossing you. Don't forget, you're always grounded in Christ, no matter where you go. You might be feeling the winds of this world, but you're grounded and rooted in the love of God. That's a sound heart. That affliction drives that reality in us, and it creates a sound heart, a perfect one. God isn't desiring for us to feel pain so we can just feel pain. He's desiring for us to have a sound heart, a perfect heart. It's been that way since Genesis. So back to Yod, verse 75. Hopefully this means something to you, a little more. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. You've allowed this to come into my life, Lord. You allow my branch to be swinging out here. The storm, to feel the brunt of the storm. But I know I am secure in you. In verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I not be ashamed. The soundness, the security is in the vine. Yet this persecution, this trouble, this trial is on the other end. That's what it means to be a Christian, folks. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. Christ in you and Christ in me. The evidence of it is esteeming his words as wonderful, as sweet, as loving his way. The substance is hating all false ways. The next letter, kaf. C, the hard C sound. Verse 81 through 88 brings me into a testimony, and it had to do with a hospital visit. We were there for three different people, and yet there was a divine appointment outside of all of that. In this particular letter, Kaf brings me to that idea or that memory of this recent event. My soul faints for this thy salvation.
but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I can't even focus on the pages. My eyes are swollen and teared and red. When will you comfort me? It's being driven into the vine. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? God, I need help. I'm hurting. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. The word is God's presence in his word. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Quicken, that idea of revival. Remember last week was requirement on one side of the page, 119, is all about, the song is all about balance. This is all about balance. Revival, that idea, the other side of the balance, revival, requirement of the law, and revival, being revived in that, the living relationship with him. I met a young mom in the family room this past week in the hospital, and she said, are you Spanish to me? I notice you're reading a Bible. I'm not sure what that has to do with being Spanish, but maybe I look Spanish. But anyway, she says, I recently gave my heart to the Lord. My son has been shot 9 times, and he's in an induced coma. And it's been a week since she's been in the hospital. There she is with her younger son. Her older son is in another room, all hooked up with an induced coma. You could see the hunger in her, wanting to connect with somebody, something. I see you have a Bible. Wanting to be revived in the Word of God. From that, a door opened to be able to share with her more things about God, to be able to share with her resources about God. There was a particular individual, Marcus Anthony, it was about a decade ago, that he was shot 8 times. Stanley. Marcus Stanley, thank you. He was shot 8 times, left for dead there. And he miraculously was revived and came back to life and struggled through that process, but now was in great ministry. So I was able to share that with her, that resource that he speaks out now and encourages people from his testimony, encourages people with the gospel. It was a beautiful thing, but this particular letter brought me to that place of being in that place of desperation. How long will I have? How long will my son have? All of the everything crashing down during this time. Let's take a look at it, the next few letters, and we're going to bring this back around. The next letter is Lamed, or L. And we're going to be looking at LMN. And it's kind of like our alphabet, especially as we're learning it. All those words are tied together as one letter. If you ever hear a child speaking the alphabet, LMN, it's all one, so we'll treat it that way today. As we go through this, we're going to identify verses that identify Jesus Christ in our life so we can grow closer in this process of being in Christ and Christ in us. So if you're a note taker, if you're a diagram writer, this is what we're going to do. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the vine, and I am the light of the world. That is on the one side of the page if you're doing columns. Jesus is the door, he's the vine, he's the light. That has to do with it being in Christ, that column. Christ in me, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection. Under all of those two columns, you have Jesus saying the seventh I am, which is I am the way, the truth, and the life, supporting all of those. Underneath that, you could think of that as a board. I am the way, the truth, and the life, supporting the two balanced perfectly in Christ, Christ in me. You have a balanced, sound heart when you're in Christ and Christ in me. That board is I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus declaring that. Underneath that, the fulcrum, which is like a triangle, balanced perfectly on a very intense point. Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham, I am. That's when they picked up stones because he declared himself equal to be with the Father. I am. So perfectly balanced. I am is the fulcrum of everything. It supports everything. Where do we go from there, though? We need help. We need places of attachment. We need things to put our faith in and to lean on. Jesus is the way. That's that infinitesimal point of balance, that Jesus is the way. That's that balancing point. He's the truth, and he's the life. And on that truth balance is that we're in Christ. He's the door, he's the vine, he's the light. On the life side, Christ in me, he's the bread of life. I shall not want. He says, you'll never hunger or thirst. Eat of this bread from heaven, and you won't hunger or thirst. It's Christ in me. Jesus being a door, that's an entranceway of me being in Christ. He says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. He's a door. He's a gateway. I need God. Well, he's the gateway to God. He's the door. He said he's the bread. That's Jesus in you. You're taking, you're internalizing this Jesus. You're bringing him into your life, his death, what he did for you. And communion represents that quite often. It's showing us what he did. We're internalizing it literally. We're taking this gospel in. We're consuming it. That's Jesus in you. Perfectly balanced truth and life. That's the way that God would have us. That's the sound heart. Jesus is the vine. That's on the side of truth. He's the vine. That's that place of attachment. He also said he's the shepherd. That's Christ in you. And by the way, we think of shepherds as like somebody leading us and it's external to us. Keep in mind, this is the shepherd that lays his life down, he says, for the sheep. When he talks about a shepherd in John, the book of John covers all these I ams. He says, I'm not like a hireling. I'm not like the shepherd you think. I'm not like a boss you think. That just you're going to follow around kind of thing. This is a shepherd. This is a leader that lays his life down for the sheep. What are the sheep going to do when the shepherd dies for them? You know? But the idea is there is that the wolves are coming to consume and that they're the shepherd is going to put and risk his life. So this shepherd satisfies us internally. Psalm 23 speaks to this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's Christ in you. That shepherd inside of you satisfies you. I love your law, Lord God, and I hate the ways of sin. The vine is me and Christ. I'm going to lean right into Christ. I am leaning into Christ, and he's my strength. The next one is light on the side of truth, the illumination. He's a lamp unto my feet. We'll see in verse 105. Resurrection on the other side, life. And we're seeing that word all over the place in here. Revive me, God. Cause me to come alive. I feel like I'm dying. I don't know if I have another day to live. Revive me. Lord, cause me to see your life now. Have life eternal even. As we go through these verses, I'm going to cue you to what they point to in this so we can digest these things. Lamed begins in verse 89. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abides. They continue, that's the generations, this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. 89 through 91 is light. It is a manifestation of truth. The word of God is settled forever. It's not flaky. It's not rotten. It's solid. The word of God, he says, he puts above himself. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. If you want to take notes next to your margins on these verses, you can put L for light, D for door, V for vine, S for shepherd, R for resurrection, or B for bread. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. That's light, that's truth, that's an awareness. Unless God saved me, rescued me, I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for God. That's light in my life. 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Resurrection, life, that word quickened. I've been quickened. I feel alive. I could feel like I can walk on water. You feel great. Someone was saying that in prayer meeting last night. I feel great. What has happened to that person is revival. They've been quickened. God has quickened them. The word of God has become alive inside of them. Folks, this is for all of us. Mm-hmm. Resurrection power is for every day, every moment of our life. Verse 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. S, shepherd, I am yours, God, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Do you know the shepherd leads you, but he is also with you in that valley of the shadow? It says, behold, you're with me. There he is. It wasn't like I was following him into the valley of death, but there he is. There he is. His rod and staff comforted me. In fact, the enemies that I find myself in front of him, he went before me, says, and prepared a table in the presence of my enemy. He's with me. He goes before me. He's leading me. That's the shepherd that lays his life down. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, be with me. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Vine verse. I will consider thy testimonies. The wicked, here it comes. Here it comes. What are you going to do? Are you going to act like a fleshly, worldly pagan? Or are you going to lean into God? Are you going into the vine? Come on! What are you going to do? It's easy to act like everybody else and be a rest of humanity. I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, verse 96. I've seen all of this, all of these things. You know how things play out, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. There's something deeper yet. There's something deeper yet. And this is bread. Something's coming alive. This is the bread that sustains, fulfills, that satisfies us. It's not just having everything work out and everybody lived happily ever after. I have seen an end of all perfection. That's what he's talking about there. That's what the world wants. Everybody lived happily ever after and you died with a great bank account and you gave it to your grandkids. No! There's something more that the human heart desires. The sound heart needs that bread from heaven. It needs the every breath that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Folks, this is what we've been designed for. This is what we live for. The word of God coming out of his mouth is sweet as honey dripping from heaven. You've been designed for this. Taste and see that the Lord is good indeed. That's a B for bread in 96. 97, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Resurrected life. I love thy law. Resurrected life. Quickened inside. You're reborn. Sometimes you feel like, boy, did I just get reborn? Did it just happen? You'll experience that all through your life. In your first encounter with Christ is a rebirth. And all through your sanctification, you'll feel like, wow, I'm at a new level. I'm at newness of life. Terry Ruddett, you're a new creation. All things are becoming new in front of you. That's a resurrected life, verse 97. Verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. This is light. Verse 99 is light as well. I have more understanding than my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Light in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I kept thy precepts. Light, bright light. 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I refrained my feet from every evil way. You can see your feet are on the end of the branch and it's like, whoa, I'm tied to the vine. I'm abiding in, man. That's where, man, I'm seated in heavenly places. So my feet better go in the right direction. You see how it works? This is the design of God for mere Christianity. That's a vine verse. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me again vine. 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. Bread, 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 satisfying, being satisfied with God, bread of life. 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is right at the center of the fulcrum, the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and life and all the things that come with that. And you find this very narrow way. Well, it might be this and it might that, and God will bless it if I go this way or that way. You know, he just kind of blesses everything. No! There's a very specific, narrow way. The way of Christ is always singular. It's always very narrow. It's always directed by him. It's very well balanced. Very fine point there. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The way of God. 105, we're going to finish in this last letter here. None, N-U-N, the N sound. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's very easy. Light on the truth side. The illumination of the word, what does that illuminate? What does it illuminate? Oh, everything's nice and bright. This is great. Be looking for the path. In the illumination of the word of God, be looking now for the path that God wants to take you on. It's not just for you to illuminate everything and just start wandering around and get lost. The illumination of the word is to illuminate a narrow path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Vine. I will remember all vine verses. You're leaned in, man. You are part of the vine. It's secure in there. That's not coming out. Because that vine is holding on to you, the reality is. 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Resurrection verse. Resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. He wasn't kidding. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, God. Cause me to be raised with you. These are the presence of God in your life through the holy gift of the Holy Spirit. You're being quickened, O Lord, according unto thy word. 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. This is the door. This is a door verse. My confession, Romans 10:10 says that, believing in the heart that Jesus Christ died for my sin, and he was raised from the dead, and I'm raised with him. Now confessing it out of the door of my mouth. The door. Jesus is the door. These are door verses. When you're confessing, you're entering into that place of faith. A door is being opened. You're entering in that door. You're opening things. You're opening your mouth. My soul is continually, in verse 109, in my hand, in danger. Yet do I not forget thy law. Vine, a lot of vine verses. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Vine, I erred not. The wicked have done this, yet I'm leaning here. Man, this part of my life is all over the place in the storm. But guess what? I am at peace because everything is leaning into the vine right now. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. These last two verses, as we conclude right now, bring the last two matters of the heart. The sound heart is in the middle, and these last two manners of the heart are on either side of it. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. So on the side of the page that has resurrection, shepherd, and bread, you have rejoicing of the heart. You can draw a heart on that side of the page with a rejoicing heart. It's in verse 12, and finally, I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes even unto the end. An inclined heart, that's on the vine side. You're inclined, you're leaning into God. Your purpose, Daniel purposed in his heart. That's a leaning in to the vine. Man, everything was going crazy. He was out of his homeland. He was in a strange place, strange language, strange customs. What does he do? Start doing that stuff? No, he leans in. He purposes in his heart, Daniel. Good lesson or one to go with this. So on that side of the equation, you have an inclined heart, a purposed heart. In the center, you have a sound, perfect heart. On the right side, you have a rejoicing heart. And there you have it, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, who loves you and is declaring from the cross, I hope you receive my love. I love you. I love you. I love you. Receive my love today. Today, let it be the day of your salvation. Know that you are loved. Know that you're no different than anyone else, that you were part of humanity and I died for all. That none should perish, but could come to that place of faith. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for being present in your church, for building a bride, Lord God, that someday we will say, wow and amen. Come and look at the bride that God has built, he's worked on, that he's loved, that he's bled for and died for. Lord Jesus Christ, help us as husbands, Lord God, to do the same for our wives. To die for them, Lord, to bleed for them, to wash them with the water of the word, Lord God, to love them as you love the church, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to share your word and the testimonies that we know are going to come even today and through this week, Lord God, of your grace. We look forward to coming together in strength and power again, Lord God, to hear your bride speak of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.